Pleasure. Thank you. We appreciate the opportunity to be here for sure. And it is nice having the girls sing because it doesn't really matter how good the preaching is. You know, I could step down from here and it'd be a disaster, and they can just pull it right out and make everything okay. Thank goodness. But we're thankful to be used of the Lord. And yes, church, you need to look around, and if you like the way things are, then you need to stay in your Bible and keep a close relationship with the Lord at home, individually. In order for the church to succeed, the home has to succeed, and you need to be doing that in your own hearts and your own lives. Each one of you have the ability to add or take away from this congregation and what the Lord's wanting to do here. And so be sure that you're on the good end of that and not the other end of that. I want to be standing before the Lord having been used as a vessel of honor and not unto dishonor. And so you look at the children of Israel back there when God was trying to get them out of Egypt to the promised land. You can see where they had some success, and that was where they trusted and followed the Lord. Their biggest mistakes was murmuring and complaining. You've got nothing to complain about. You're alive and well, and the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. You got everything to praise about. Be thankful for everything. Well, happy Father's Day. It's a great day for me as a proud father with five children, three girls and two boys, and they make me proud every single day. But I will say this for 110%, anything that's good in them came from the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if my children, thank the Lord, all of my children are saved, but even if they were not saved and their behavior reflected any of that, you do know we can act like Christians, don't you? We can act right. But any good behavior is from the teaching of the Word of God. So all the success is only given to the Lord Jesus Christ for anything that is positive in my home. And I will say that if you want the same results, and you better not get away from that Bible, not one minute. Not one minute. Jesus Christ can raise your kids. He can do it. And so if you'll turn your Bibles to Luke chapter number 15, we'll look here at the prodigal son. I know you've heard this over and over. Don't go to sleep on me yet. There's always something to glean from the Word of God. Every time I pulled up to the table, the Lord Jesus Christ had a fresh meal. Yes, sir. I may have ate that same scripture once before, but it sure didn't taste any different. It was better than it was before. Yes, sir. Right. So just put your bib on and pull up to the table, grab your fork and spoon, start shoveling everything in. And hopefully the Lord will be able to feed you and carry you on a little bit farther and for His glory. So Luke chapter 15, you're familiar with the prodigal son. Before I read that, I'll read you a few scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now we're at home here on this earth in this earthly house, but we'd rather be there clothed in immortality. But the Lord has given us this earthly house here. John 14:1, Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house," that's where we desire to be, "are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." But this is my favorite part. "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way ye know." We don't have to walk around confused and worried and all that. We know the way. And so we get down here to the prodigal son, Luke chapter number 15, and verse number 18. I just read this phrase right here. This is after he came to himself, after the prodigal son came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father. Have you grasped that statement there? And so we get ourselves into the shoes of the prodigal son. He's at the father's house. He is there, and he is whether he's a teenager, whatever age he is, he's old enough to get his inheritance. And so he is there going, he has asked his father, he said, Father, I want what's mine. Well, father being who his father is, the Bible said, and he gave to them his inheritance because he had two sons. He didn't just give the one son the inheritance. He gave them both equally, rightfully what was theirs. And so for them to do with what they will. And with our children, fathers, with our children, at some point you got to let go. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's our job. These children are not ours. They have been loaned to us by the grace of God. He has bestowed upon us His love and grace and given us a responsibility for a time to be parents, for a time to give them a good foundation for a time, and then they're on their own. We cannot choose for them. The best thing we could choose for them is while they are growing up is raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And which way is that? I think y'all dealt with that this week. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may be able to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to raise our children to follow the will of God individually. Amen. I could have never told you that one of my daughters would be writing songs. I could have never picked that out. I could have never picked out that they would have the voices that they have. All of them, the two boys, they got good voices too. But they ain't going to be singing. they don't hit them like it hits the girls, you know. But they serve their purpose. And I don't know if God's going to make preachers or teachers or missionaries' wives or you know, fathers, daughter. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with my children. That's not up to me. What is up to me is Christ is your goal. Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Amen. And you see, as the prodigal son, that is what he is sick of. He says right here in the scripture that he said, he admitted that I have sinned against heaven. He said his father, but against heaven. So in other words, he had been fed the right thing. His father had been teaching him the right way. By the way, any of y'all believe in God? Amen. Yeah, some of you do. That's good. Well, you're in the right place. Maybe by the time this is over, you will. But he is for real. By faith, I know it. I walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, sir. I've seen things by believing that I'd have never seen before. Amen. And so the Lord had worked in this home, and we're in the prodigal son's shoes, and he's at the father's house. He's miserable. He hates it. I'm tired of this. I'm gone. So the father, and I was just giving you the idea that the father, once his inheritance, he's still given the promises that he's given, that he's offered. He's going to stand on his word. He keeps his promises. And so he gives him the inheritance. But what the Lord, what the father didn't know is what he was going to do with the inheritance. But we fathers, we kind of know you know, just looking at the behavior and the heart and everything like that, you could tell, yeah. Oh, man, this might not be too good. But nonetheless, you have to let go at some point. Yeah. And so the father let go, and he gave him his inheritance, and the son went off. And the son goes, and he lives. Did you know? I forget how many verses it is that it talks about this situation. From verse number 11 all the way to verse number 32, you do the math, and it's talking about this whole situation, the prodigal son going out in far country and all that. It's got the story there from verse 11 to 32, and guess what? It gives 8 words for him having pleasure. Yeah. 8 words deal with his pleasure. What about that? Only 8. You will enjoy sin, but only for a season. Yeah. That's why Moses said, I'm not going. He's choosing rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. You remember that, children. That yes, there are great pleasures in this world. You can have all that you want, but it'll only last for 8 words.
Yeah, come on.
It ain't going to last long at all. And then we're going to be dealing with the destruction. And the reason why I've not read this whole thing, you all know this whole thing. Yeah. But we're going to get into where I want to be here in just a second. But now he has went and had all the pleasure he could absolutely stand, all he could afford. Pleasure ain't cheap, by the way. It's going to cost you far more than you want to pay, take you farther than you want to go, keep you far longer than you want to stay. So before you get the idea, to get the illusion, young people, that this is the better way to go and the best thing for you to do is to get out there and experience life. Fathers, you need to grab a hold of the gravity of your job in the home.
Amen.
They don't need to experience life. You understand what I'm saying? What this world has to offer, you need to keep them away from it as long as possible. He said, well, you're sheltering them. There's a way to be around this and be in this world, but not conform to this world and be a part of it. We are a peculiar people, separated from the world. But there is a way. Did you know that out of the Garden of Eden, God created everything, the garden, the animals, all this other stuff. He created it and gave it to Adam and Eve, and they said, and put them in that garden to dress it. He made all of this. And he only had one thing that he said no to. One tree. One. Parents, it may be you that's in the far country in your own hearts if you are saying that they need to experience life. There's only a few no's in this world that Jesus Christ has given us life and life more abundant to enjoy everything that we have here on this earth in moderation, as the Bible says. We can enjoy life, have Bible camp. We can have all these other events and high attendance days and go watch a movie and do all that stuff. You know, we watched a bunch of movies, but there's two things we have at the house. There's a bunch of trash, on the television, but we like to watch television. So there's a VidAngel and ClearPlay, and those are things that you can attach to those streaming videos, and you can pick and choose what your filters on how to filter that out, so you don't have to sit there and listen to the filth. There's a lot of good movies that have tons of cussing in it, but you just cut that out, and you've got a good movie. And so there are ways to get around all of the nastiness that this world's wanting to shove into your face. I'm not saying to tiptoe on the edge of between God and this sinful world. I'm saying within the boundaries of God's blessed umbrella, we can enjoy life so much. And so you don't have to feel like it's miserable. They do not need to experience this world. The longer they stay away from it, the better off they are. Why would a Christian think that their child needs to experience this world anyway? We're doing our best to try to keep them out of it. They're one pill away from being an addict. One drink away from being an addict, because it only takes one. It only takes one party. You watch all the murder shows and stuff like that, the Dateline and stuff like that. Where do you think these things happen at? Well, she was down at the bar. She went clubbing that night. It's mostly that kind of stuff. Stuff that didn't have nothing to do with God. And so now the prodigal son has spent 8 words in pleasure, and he's now stuck in the pigsty. It said, no man, there was a great famine in the land, no man gave unto him. So get your mind right into that spot where he has lived it up. Everyone is left because there's nothing left. Everyone is in survival mode, which is where we are. We're in a dog-eat-dog world. And so that's where we're at now. And so no man gave unto him. So he joined himself with a citizen of that country, the far country, and he planted himself there. And that was the only person would do anything for him. He gave him a job. Go feed the pigs. Go watch the pigs. And he was even so hungry while he was watching those pigs, he lusted after the food that they ate. And that's where he came to himself. And that's where we're at right now. That's the point I want to get to. The father, back at the house, that verse. And he said, I will arise and go to my father. You know those scriptures I was reading you about that house? Let not your heart be troubled. In my father's house. Doesn't that bring great peace and hope to know that there's a house to go to? That the father has been a father enough to me to keep this home a home, to where I'll have a home to go to. Amen. He had a home to go back to. Amen. He's sitting there in the pigsty in the far country, and his thought is, I've got a home to go to. Yes, sir. There's still a home back there. He hadn't been back home. He hadn't heard of home. He hadn't done nothing but live for himself. He came to himself at that moment, and he said, I got a place to go. I remember that wonderful place. And whereas before he was thinking about, man, I can't get out of here fast enough. Dad's a Christian. He always shoving God down my throat. He always doing this, always doing that. I can't get out of here fast enough. And that's really what it boiled down to. Enough. He had had enough of God. He had had enough of his father. He had had enough of the farm. He had had enough of living for everybody else. Because you know a godly farmer is going to give everything he's got to everybody else. And so he's tired of it. He's had enough of it. So he goes and thinks like he's going to get enough. What his enough is a bunch of women, a bunch of drinking, and a bunch of wonderful living. That's what he thought was enough. And now he gets back down, and he's down to nothing. The inheritance wasn't enough. The fun living wasn't enough. It just did not supply the need for that emptiness, that dark hole that is inside of man that is nothing but all-consuming. Yeah. Wow. And then he gets down that pigsty and he says, how many of my father's servants have bread enough? Yeah. Hired servants at that. He paid them. Yeah. Have bread enough and to spare. He said, I have had enough of this pigsty. But it's nice to be able to get to the point to where you get fed up. How many people get fed up and have nowhere to go? Come on. That's homeless folks, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Some of them homeless folks just that they choose that, but sometimes they ain't got no choice.
Yeah.
There's nowhere else to go.
Right.
There is no one that was back at the house. And so the Father, we can hear. It's important. It is important while we are in our house, in this body, that we make this house a home for folks to come home to. Each individual one of us, this church, I look at the building, but it's what holds the church.
Yes.
People, they know what goes on in here. They have an idea. They've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. They've heard, and hopefully they've heard a good reputation from this church. They're going to need a home to come home to when they come to themselves. How's that supposed to happen? Well, the prodigal son says it right here. What happened there at the father's house? He says it right here in these few verses. Verse number 17, he said, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?' He said, 'I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But he went when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.'" Well, the father didn't even give him a chance to finish that statement. He says, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry.'" All those things right there that he just said in verse 22 and 23 lets you know that the father never left the house. That the father's still where he was before the son left. He said, "Go fetch the robe. There's got to be a closet. Go fetch the ring. There's got to be a jewelry box. Go fetch the shoes. There's got to be a shoe rack. There's a house somewhere over there." And the father's still there. Thank goodness for the father staying at home and making a home for us. If our heavenly father is making a home for us, then fathers, we need to be making a home for our children to come home to. And we as a church body, individuals, as our Heavenly Father is our example, we need to be living a life that is a home, makes people feel at home with us. And they know they got a home to come home to. They call you up and say, "Man, I'm just running through some trouble. I know I haven't talked to you in a long time, but I'm running into some trouble and I knew I had somebody I could call. Thank you for listening to me." Being a home for somebody to come home to. But we see here that the prodigal son, he is there and he has acknowledged something first and foremost. He said, "I will arise and go to my father."
Yeah.
The father, that is the authority.
Amen.
He is recognizing that there is an authority at the house.
Right.
It's the father. Do you know, fathers, that your wife is not the authority in your home?
Amen.
Do you know, fathers, that your children are not the authority in your home?
Amen.
You are the one that God Almighty is going to look at come judgment day and say, "I gave you these gifts. I put you over that home, and you goofed up." You need to understand your responsibility in your home, the weight of it. It's not just that we want to lean hard on that authority. We want to be able to walk all over them and they do what we say and what we need them to do. Do as I say, not as I do. You have no choice but to go with my command. No, that's not it. It is His command that we are carrying out in our homes to raise kingdom kids and a good, solid, wholesome family to where it can build the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. We are to follow His will and not our own will. The prodigal son recognized that there was an authority back at the house, and it was the Father. It's the Father. Man, we have messed up with the feminist movements and all this stuff. You ladies are the best thing since sliced bread. I love you. Do you understand your value? In each one of our places, if we get where God wants us to be and where He has anointed us to be, you'll be the happiest person you have ever been in your life. Amen. If you embrace God's will to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, just slide right in there and embrace God's will for your life. You talk about healthy. Your home's going to be healthy. Yeah. It's going to be altogether lovely. Right. It's going to be wonderful. You won't, ladies, you won't feel like you're getting walked all over. You understand? Men, you won't wonder why your wife's looking at you. Oh, she's always snarling and everything. I wonder why.
Come on, brother. Amen. Come on.
You're treating her like dirt.
Come on. Amen.
This is, by the way, when God married Adam and Eve, He said, "You are one flesh." So when the Lord looks at your home, children, wife, husband, and all, it is one picture. He ain't looking at the individuals. He didn't look at the children of Israel as individuals. When one of them, out of the million that there were, when one of them messed up, the whole camp paid for it.
Yes, sir.
He looks at us, He looks at this church as one body. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you get where you need to be and get this authority thing figured out, this line of communication, it steps up. It goes God, Jesus, Father, Mother, children.
Amen.
It don't go any different. God, Jesus, Father, Mother, children. The children don't lead the home. The mother don't lead the home. And, all, you know, if you want to say the truth, the father don't lead the home per se. The Father leads the home. He is the final authority. And so the prodigal son has recognized a good thing. He's headed in the right direction. Before I go home, I had better figure out where I stand in this household. He said, "I am unworthy. I am not even worthy to be called your son. Just hire me as a servant, and because I've forfeited all that. Look, I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you. You are the authority.
Yes. Come on.
And so I bow to you.
Yes,
it is your will, not mine.
Yes.
Your will, not mine. Amen. My goodness, if we can get a hold of that, our homes will be a lot healthier and a lot better off." But the prodigal son experienced something else in his own heart. By the consistency of his father and what he's always known him to do and to be, he recognized that there is accessibility. He said, "I will arise and go to my father." What makes him think after all the living, I mean, if his brother was his father, he would have nowhere to go. What makes him think that he deserves to be able to go back to the Father's house? Because when he left, he didn't just leave. He rejected God. He rejected the farm. He rejected the Father and everything that he had ever grown up being. He wanted the funds to come from there, but he wanted nothing else to do with the house. He cut ties completely, and he was gone. Why do you think he even deserves a place to go back? But he knew the Father. How many people had he dealt with over time? He was a farmer, and he had livestock. He had all of this stuff, and doing business, trying to do it, make a living for your family and everything. And he was well off. He had hired servants. He had rings. He had best robes. He had all kinds of, he had a fatted calf. He had it all. This was not a poor man. And in business, you have to deal with some people that are untruthful, that will not do right. And how many times had he been cheated and he still invite those people over and out of kindness, as our Heavenly Father does, and says, you know what, you just come on. Dad, that guy cheated you, and you're going to do business with him again? Well, he apologized for it, and I want to give him another chance. He's always learned from his father that there are second chances. There are second chances. There are the accessibility of the Father. He knew that he had the opportunity to come to that Father. And Ephesians 2:18 says, "For through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." We have access unto the Father. Thank goodness. So fathers, you better have let people have access to you. Well, you say, well, what if they're just going to come back and do the same thing again? What if they're, okay, here, let me help you out with that. Let me help you out with that. And they had the prodigal son, you can see he had admirability for his father, for the home. And he said in verse number 19, "I am no more worthy." He said, "I am unworthy." And that comes from the accountability. He said, "I have sinned against heaven and against you, Father. I am no more worthy to be called your son." There's the difference. The works of true repentance. You can make yourself for others, for your children, for all kinds of people. You can make yourself accessible enough to hear what they have to say and to talk to the Lord about the heart of how they said it. You have that ability to be able to give them the opportunity to come to you, and you'll listen to them. I've had some people come to me and want something and want access again. I give it to them again, and this is what they do. Their hand is not out to give me anything. Their hand is out to take something again after they have taken again. And anybody ever helped a homeless person that was on drugs? I helped the guy for like 5 years. And multiple people. That ain't the first one that the Lord has put in my path to learn something from. But every time they come, wanting food, wanting this, wanting that. I took a guy to the grocery store. He bought two massive bags of sugar. I was like, man, you're homeless. What do you need two massive bags of sugar for? Oh, I quickly realized that he, after I dropped him off, he put those two bags of sugar on his bicycle. And as I was coming back by, he didn't know it. But as I was coming back by, he was dropping them off at the moonshiner's house to pay for his moonshine with sugar. That's an ingredient in that. Don't try to make it. At any rate, next time I got a hold of him, I said, you're losing access, buddy. You're trying to get God's blessings, and you don't want nothing else to do with God. He was still in the far country. And there's many people that's going to do that. Their head's still in the far country. They're saying, the prodigal son, he came to himself. The light's got to come on. But when you hear that, hey, they ain't got no interest, don't waste your time. You're casting pearls before the swine. So that'll ease you up in trying to figure this thing out. How is that the accountability? How is that? Did he realize there is accountability? He knew at the Father's house it was the same as it's always been. There is accountability at his house because he follows God, and God's got a totally different standard than this world. Why else do you think that I had to go all the way in far country to do what I wanted to do? Because it wasn't at the Father's house. The Father didn't compromise when I said I'm leaving. He didn't say, no, don't go. I'm afraid I'll lose you. How many parents buy drugs for their children because they're afraid to lose them? You're the one killing them. And so he said, I'm afraid to lose you, and so I'm going to bring the far country into the house. So he starts getting some women and all beer and all this other stuff, having that kind of party. He wouldn't have been able to have the victory party that he had at the end if he would have went and had that kind of party in the beginning. He held on to his house. He stuck to his guns, and he kept everything the way it ought to be, the way the Father wants it to be.
Amen. Right. Amen. That's good.
The prodigal son knew that. He said, there's accountability at the house.
Amen.
And I ain't going back the way I left.
Amen.
I've got to change something before I go back. There's got to be something different in me before I ever step foot in that driveway. I can't go back the way I left at all. Unclean. Unworthy. Unworthy. And he felt like, you know, I'm all dirty and everything. I better ask to be a hired servant. I'll work. Daddy, I'll just work for a meal. You know what? I want to give back to you. Do you understand? Do you hear that the works of repentance there working? He said, I don't want you to do it. All I need you to do is give me a chance. I've ruined my shot at being a son, but I want you to just give me a chance, please, Father, just to be at least one of your hired servants. Because I know that Centos comes over your direction and gives them a good, you know, outfit, good wardrobe, you know, they at least got that. And they'll take him and wash him. And he said, I can get, that's way better than this situation that I've got, that I've made for myself. Lord, please. Father, please. And I'm glad my Heavenly Father has given me accessibility because He knows my heart. I have access to the Father. When I come to Him, He is faithful. If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. He said, I'm unworthy. But in that availability there, that's the last thing. The availability. He said, I want to be one of your hired servants. He knew that the Father would have a place for him. But he had no idea that no matter what he did, once a son, always a son.
Amen.
He never lost his sonship.
Yes, sir.
Though he tried to forfeit that sonship, though he tried to get away from it, give it up and everything, the Father still said, oh no, there's no way you can be a hired servant because you are my son. He didn't even let him get to that point to being a hired servant. He said, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. The Father interrupts real quick. Go fetch the best robe.
Amen.
Go fetch the ring. Go fetch the shoes. Go kill that fatted calf. For this my son was dead and now is alive again.
Yes.
He was lost and now is found.
Thank you, Lord.
He had a home to go home to.
Yes, sir.
The availability of that home.
Amen.
Oh, praise God.
Amen.
For the availability of our heavenly home. As
Amen.
Jesus Christ declared, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there ye may be also. The availability. We, through the Lord Jesus Christ, have been given the power to be called the sons of God.
Right. Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen. a home for folks to come home to. I will arise and go to my Father. He had a place to go. Where there is a home, there is definitely hope. And so, fathers, you get in this book, you find out what your home is supposed to be, and you get on your knees and you say, God, give me the strength to make it what it's supposed to be. Because it ain't going to be easy. Your girls are going to get up to an age and they're going to be looking on this and looking on that and going to school and seeing how everybody else does it. And they say, this is how everybody else does it. And you're going to say, that don't sound right. Amen. No, that's what I thought. It ain't right. Honey, I know you got this desire. And your approach to your children are everything. If you approach like a dogmatic bull, you're going to get it right back.
Amen.
But if you approach in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to get that back too.
Amen.
So you say, I just want to show you right here. Right here. And we know the wages of sin is death, so we won't stay away from that. But it says right here, you know, it's pretty strong about modesty. And it's also, this modesty goes even deeper than that. It's inward modesty, what's in your heart. And so, I know you want to do that, and I know they want you to do that, but we can't. Well, Daddy, we can't. You know, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry for telling you no, but I'm sorry that you ain't seen it yet. But we'll pray together. And maybe the Lord will help you to see what is the truth and not a lie. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
No man comes unto the Father but by Him.
Amen.
And we are to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
That's how we're supposed to raise our family. That's how you make a home to come home to. Because you're not guaranteed that they're not going to go try it. No matter how you raise them, you're not guaranteed that they're not going to go AWOL. That far country is in our hearts, birthed there. It comes naturally to us. So you ain't guaranteed that they ain't going to go. But you will guarantee that they'll know that if you raise them the way they should go, it will not depart from them, or they will not depart from it. They'll know how to get back to the house. Do you notice that's what Jesus said? And the way ye know.
Amen.
He knew how to get back home. He rode in a carriage, probably several carriages out to the far country, but he had to walk back.
Yeah.
But he was glad to do it because there was somewhere to walk back to.
Yeah.
Preacher.
Amen.